Everybody loosen up. Everybody all right? Dar, you okay? I don't trust that expression.
I'm fine.
I'm okay.
Don't build into that stereotype that librarians are shy.
Oh, they are.
Oh, are they?
No, not at all.
Well, we could talk about that. All right, cue the music. Welcome to A Little Too Quiet, the Ferndale Library Podcast, brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. Thanks for clicking play on a podcast about a library. We're going to be talking to a librarian today, and her name is Darlene Hellenberg. My name's Jeff Milo, and my producer here is Kelly Bennett. We're coming to you from downtown Ferndale, a mile north of Detroit, Michigan, and we're talking about the ways in which librarians use their brains to help us find the next best thing to read that fits our personal tastes. It's called Reader's Advisory. The librarian across from me is Darlene Hellenberg. Hello.
Hello.
So, hold on a second, Darlene. Are we at 10 years now of you being a librarian? When'd you get your, information scientist badge?
I graduated in 2011.
Oh, man. Well, okay. All right. Close enough. Isn't it weird that we're in 2020 now?
Yeah, it's weird.
A new decade?
Yes.
On this podcast, obviously, we're talking a lot about the overlooked aspects of the librarian profession. And one of them happens to be finding the next best awesome thing for your patrons to read. And as long as I've known you, even before you got that information scientist badge, that was something you always enjoyed doing.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're doing your life's work?
Yeah.
But that's like, let's talk about that because it's something that you probably have to do at least once or twice or three times a day. And, you know, you have to figure out appeal factors and you have to almost do interviews on the fly. What's it like for you? How do you do it?
Well, I think one of the things that helps is that I get to purchase all of the fiction for our adult collection.
So you know what's in the vault.
Yeah, I kind of have a idea of what books are about, what's coming out. And then I also read a ton, so I can pull from what I've read. I can pull from authors that I know. There is a little bit of a pause of panic when people first say, "Hey, can you recommend a book for me?"
Yeah.
So you have to take a deep breath.
That's a lot to hold in your hands.
It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure, but it's also very, very fun.
Because that's a whole other thing is that they probably want to be in and out fast. They want you to like think of something pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you have to be fast. And sometimes they just don't have a lot of answers for you when you ask questions. So you just have to guess and hope. Yeah. So then those are the times you just pull out the books that you know every single person liked and it'll work out okay.
I think there's still something to just the IRL interaction of a human connecting with a human and that human handing that other human a book.
Yeah. I think so.
Whether they don't like it or not.
Yeah.
They might appreciate
They're just happy to be helped.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's nice. It's better than, hey, can I help you find a shirt to wear? It's more personal.
Yeah, agreed. Because, yeah, I can attest to the last 10 years, at least once per year, Darlene has recommended me a book, and it was in my top five favorite books of that year that I've read. She's yet to miss. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you have to take reference questions, you take people who are doing research projects, but there's something especially special about someone who just wants to find something that they'll love, because I think we connect with books in a different way than we do with films or television shows. When we read a book that we love, that's a whole different kind of feeling.
I also think it's easy to get in reading ruts where you just read all of the same style of book, you just read the author, one author that you know about, that you know you like. So I think it's like part of discovery to help somebody like find a new area in the library that they haven't read from, a new genre. And I think it's really fun to get to pull out the little pieces in those books that they would never have thought of that will fit in other books that will give them the satisfaction of reading and make them enjoy them.
Yeah. I also think it's important that there are probably people out there in the world who are typing into a Google search box, "What should I read next?" When you could be asking a librarian in person.
Ask a librarian.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be much better than an algorithm, I assure you. You know, another thing that I find interesting is book clubs and reading as a group. you know, and also over your time here, you have facilitated a book club for 10 years.
Yes, I have.
You know,
it's a long time.
Tell me about that experience and what you enjoy about that, because I think there's something to that as well, where you're reading a book that, you know, 3 weeks from now, you're going to be sitting down in a group and maybe having a debate about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy getting to hear what other people think of books, sort of the English major in me, getting to continue to talk about books in group settings. Once you do it all the time in school, you sort of don't ever want to stop.
Right.
That was my favorite part about being an English major and in English class in high school. So there's a little bit of the nerd in me that's like really into wanting to talk about books all the time. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things is that one of the best parts about talking about books with other people is it can change your opinion about a book. You could have hated a book going into book club, and then you could have everybody talk about it and ask questions and dig deeper and come out to really appreciate a book. Or if you all hated it, then you can all hate it together. And that's also mm-hmm. very satisfying. Mm-hmm. Or you all loved it and you can talk about all the characters that you loved and what you made, you know, what made you love it, the feelings that you had. There's just so many ways that you can talk about a book. Mm-hmm. And I think that reading it on your own and never getting a chance to get to gush about something good or bad is kind of a bummer. And you want to talk about it with somebody.
Truly. I think you need somewhere to put those emotions.
Exactly.
And again, it's not like I see a film and I have to tell someone immediately about how much I love this film, but this is a whole other exchange mm-hmm. between the book and I.
Yeah, I think so too. And I can't tell you like the number of times either I myself have had this thought or heard other people say it. They'll be reading a book and they'll see somebody walking, just a stranger out reading and, you know, on a bench somewhere or walking down the street with a book in their hand. And you want to run over and talk to that person.
Oh gosh.
So it's like, you know, there's just that connection. And I think with Book Party, it also is just a way to sort of equalize, you know, everybody that's coming likes books. Mm-hmm. So you know that you're going to have something in common with somebody, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Right.
You
right.
have something to start a conversation and get you over the hump. You can sit down in a group of at a book club, whatever book club, you can know that for a fact you all have something in common.
Yeah.
So then you are able to easier make connections about other things that you like. And I think that's been one of my favorite things about Book Party.
Heck yeah. Now, you said Book Party, which I didn't actually name it when I said you ran a book club. It is called The Book Party. And, you know, Kevin Egan Kraus, former library board president, came in here and used the invigorating phrase rebel librarians. And you rebelliously decided that you would host this book club where?
In a bar. Yes.
But I mean, I think 10 years ago, that might have sounded a little more risque than it might now.
Yeah.
Because rebel librarians have only gotten more rebeller. But, you know, tell me about where that idea came from and why you thought that was a good idea.
You rebel. Yes. Well, when I was starting out in getting my library wings, as mm-hmm. you will, I was really into the idea of doing these big community reads. And we applied for a grant. And mm-hmm. the first community read that we did, we had to follow all of these guidelines because we had won this grant. And a lot of them were about going out into the community and finding different places to have book discussions. As it was about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. I was hanging out at bars.
Uh-huh, right.
And so I thought, well, I want to hang out at this bar, and why can't people come hang out with me at this bar?
Right.
And so I got to talking to the people that own the bar, and they thought it was a great idea. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I only wanted to do one book club meeting.
Oh, don't mind that music, folks. That's we're just going to go with that. That's just my phone is just ringing in the other room. And speaking of rebel librarians, I've got my telephone is not on silent in the library. Talk about.
You learn something new every day.
Indeed.
Like how to mute the Bluetooth channel.
Oh yeah, that was great. So, you know, we're still working out the bugs of this podcast thing here in the library. Nice. However.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, just, but 10 years, come on, congrats on all that. And 10 years of doing these big community events. Like, this is a whole other thing is that, you know, you're out in the community and you're planning big things. There was something you would do every March. It was called Ferndale Reads. And tell me about that, because you did some very interesting very interesting things that would just sort of get everyone into one location, like a giant vendor market, or you even sent us out for a scavenger hunt once. Talk about that. You started with a 1920s party.
I did. So the Ferndale Read started as a, we first got a grant. That was how Book Party started too. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the National Endowment for the Arts had this big program, and it was called the Big Read. So the first year we did it, it had to be called the Big Read, but we applied for a grant again and we didn't get it, but we still wanted to do the program. So we called it Ferndale Reads, picked our own books, and every year we would pick a book and then come up with a bunch of themes from that book and then plan programs around those themes. And if we were lucky, get the author or an author to mm-hmm. kind of talk about the book that we had picked. So the first one we did was The Maltese Falcon. And the thing that we started doing then that is one of my favorite partnerships was getting together with Go Comedy. They're an improv group that has a building across the street from us. And they would take the book every year and make a whole improv show around it, which was just like how is this even happening?
No matter what it was.
Yeah.
Even if it was Slaughterhouse Five.
Yep.
Still try
even if it was.
Even if it was a post-apocalyptic book about a traveling band of theater performers.
Yes. They found a way to make it funny, and it was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Josh Malerman talked about it. He was a huge fan when we did Bird Box for the big Ferndale Read, and he went to every show they ever did. And was amazed at what they did.
I mean, it's just, how cool. They were just starting out, too, and we were just starting this program, so it was like, hey, let's partner with these guys. Are going to be our neighbors. Let's make this work.
Ferndale growing together.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. know, it was one of my favorite little partnerships that lasted throughout the whole program.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of the things that I really liked actually was for Bird Box, we did the kickoff party, and it was you had to do all of these challenges inside the library, like stick your hand in a fish tank full of worms. And I can't remember.
It was like a haunted house.
It was.
You turned the library into sort of a haunted, freak show, sideshow thing, which is fitting. You know, the character in that book has to be blindfolded. I think you blindfolded
people. Everybody.
And made them.
Yeah. Slowly they had to work their way through stations. And I can't even remember what all the stations were, but there was. They had to eat crickets. They definitely had to dig out worms from an aquarium full of worms and dirt. There was all kinds of ridiculous things. And at the end, we had this like desk covered with free books, and there was like barbed wire around mm-hmm. it. And you you finally reached the end, and your award was a free book. So I mean.
Also, kudos to our patrons for being so gung-ho. Anyone walking through that at any point would have been totally justified to say, is this for a book club? But no, they totally bought the ticket and took the ride.
They did. Ferndale, really good sports.
Yeah.
Really good sports.
I think there was another one of my favorites was that there was a suddenly like a drop everything and read thing inside of the Rust Belt Market.
Oh, yes.
Across the street from us.
Yeah, it was sort of like our own version of a flash mob.
Yeah. But with a book.
That year we had picked Slaughterhouse Five. And so we were trying to come up with a way to launch that year's big kickoff. And so there's a place called Rust Belt Market in Ferndale. It's a big, like you were saying, a vendor market.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got permission, and I collected all of these local patrons. And we all showed up, and everybody stood in. It's kind of a big circle.
Sounds like you rounded up a gang.
I did. I rounded up a book gang.
Listen, we're going to meet at 3 p.m.
I got everybody to show up.
Stuff is going to go down.
Yep. And I don't know how we started it, but I guess there was a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody opened their book, and we all read the first. I think it might have been the first full chapter mm-hmm. of Slaughterhouse Five. And then after that, we handed out free books to everybody who came. So it was pretty cool.
You've got a nice, like... theme going there, like, all right, now that we've weirded you out publicly, here's a free book.
I mean, you know, it's free, but we had to make you work for it a little
right
bit.
And then another one I just have to mention for your sort of, and this just speaks to how librarians are just getting craftier and craftier and more creative and more creative, is that you had a book that was dealing with the past, and you decided you'd do a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
About Ferndale history.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was great, but that must have been kind of crazy to think, well, I'm a librarian, but I'm going to assign groups of 2 to 3 people and have them roam around the city mm-hmm. and then maybe check back in with me in 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they did. And it was March and it was cold and gross. And we had like, I think it was like 30 something teams. Mm-hmm. And we came up with all these clues about Ferndale. It was kind of about buildings and the 9 mile, like our 9 mile Woodward strip. Mm-hmm. I think I remember going out and timing it and walking to all the clues to make sure it wouldn't take too long. And then at the end, of course, you got to come to the bar, and that's where I was waiting with boxes of free books.
Right.
So, you know, it was really fun. It was really, really fun. That book was, Annie's Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
And first of all, it worked.
It worked. It totally worked.
Totally worked. And I think all the teams reported in.
Yes.
And but, you know, that could have easily been a moment where you were having a librarian moment that said, is this going to work?
Yes. I was very worried. Oh, and I think I had people stationed at like various spots.
As someone who was assigned to be stationed at a various spot and stand outside in the cold waiting for strangers to ask me the right question.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It worked.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had to coordinate volunteers. It was really fun.
Having been a librarian now who's had the opportunity to ask herself, oh, God, is this going to work? And then getting good results. You know, that can't be anything that library school necessarily prepares you for. But
yeah, no. That's not a class that you take at library school. Not at all.
But you know, there's something to that. People will get the book that, you know, that you've chosen for that
right.
big event, and they might not like it.
Yeah, they might not like it.
But they still might come to your programs.
Exactly.
And they still might.
We tricked them into having fun.
Yeah.
That's what we did there.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to that's an elaborate, big 2-month-long book club with programs and scavenger hunts and flash mobs. That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
But you can also just enjoy books in your living room with your 10 friends, which you also do that too. You've got some side book clubs.
I do. Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna out my mom on this podcast. She just told me in her book club, she once read In the Time of Cholera by, who's the author again?
Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Just like to mess with Darlene. It's one of her favorite authors.
Yeah, I know. He knows the author.
Mom hated that book. Or
ooh.
Or she was pretty sure she just didn't enjoy it.
That's fine. Yeah.
She went to the book club. She had a great discussion. She wound up walking away with a new appreciation for it.
Yes.
The magic works.
Mm-hmm.
The magic works.
It does work. It's true.
That's a whole other thing, is that you can't just tell everyone to read your favorite author because...
Can't do that. It is scary.
Or do you secretly? I bet you just like, oh, I'll just give him Gail Garcia.
No, I actually wouldn't, because I don't want to hear about people not liking him.
Yes, I'm really into James Patterson. Have you tried Gail Garcia Marquez?
That doesn't work.
It's like a perfect next step.
No, it's not. It's not. I do want to say one more thing about book parties and doing those big giant Ferndale reads. I think one of the things to remember about books too is that it's not just reading.
Mm-hmm.
You can really come at it from all these different angles, and that's what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's about discussion. It's about pulling out all these various themes that are in those books and trying to connect with those books in different ways. If it's a film series, if it's, you know, comedy, if it's a sad book, maybe you go to a comedy show about it and have a laugh and like let off some steam. Books, I think, more so than even movies and TV, but they just connect you with so many other aspects of the world that it really does lend itself to opening your mind and making connections in different ways.
Absolutely. Books tend to have much more nuanced sort of sets of themes going on than you'll find in a movie or a show or in another piece of art, like a song. A song is, they're all arranged. Verse, chorus. It's, you know, movies, we always see tropes, you know, but with a book, you can really dig into it, and you've got 300 pages to work with.
Yeah.
You've got a range of characters, and who knows what genre it could be. Mm-hmm. I mean, was it a simple connection to say, well, I really love reading and I really love books, I'm going to become a librarian?
No, I'd never, ever crossed my mind, ever.
Suddenly it dawned on you later?
I worked in this library in high school and never, ever even thought about being a librarian.
Mm-hmm.
It did not even cross my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
ever. I was going to do different things. I was going to be a therapist. I was going to be a writer, mm-hmm. but I was not ever going to be a librarian.
I was going to be a stunt driver.
There you go.
In my mind.
Yeah.
At that age.
Yep.
When we met, mm-hmm. when we were pages.
Yeah.
Putting books away.
Putting books away.
Yep. Kelly.
What did make you want to become a librarian?
Good question.
Actually, so I ended up with a very useful English degree. And
Sarcasm on the mic.
I came back to Ferndale and I just happened to come into the library and visit the ladies that worked here. And out of nowhere, they offered me a job, which obviously my desperate jobless, futureless self accepted immediately.
Wow.
But that wasn't even it. It was later. I never really, when I was a page, I just shelved the books.
Uh-huh.
I helped with some kids programs here and there, but I didn't ever see more of the behind the scenes. So after being able to work here for a little while, they started letting me pick out the books to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is amazing. I have all this, like, I have power, you know?
You're building a collection.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more than just picking out books you like. It's,
yeah.
Well, I worked at the front desk, so I saw all the books that got checked in and out. So I was like, oh, I know that the city, the people that come to the library would like these books.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing that. And then they asked me to run a book club for kids. So I got to do that. And so it was like slowly but surely I got to do more of the stuff that, like, we didn't even do a lot of that when I was here as a page.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to be able to do more stuff, and then they let me do more stuff. And then I saw that, A, I was actually using my English degree in, like, a super fun way that never even occurred to me.
Right.
And it just, like, made sense after that. It was like, wait, I can do all of these fun things and have an English degree and feel like I'm using it and get to be around books and talk to people about books. Yeah, it just they just let me do more and more.
Well, so when I first joined this library and when I first encountered you in this capacity, the first interesting, cool thing that you did was throw a swing a 1920s party. This was for the first big read that for Maltese Falcon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And folks were dressed up in 1920s garb.
That's right.
What did we call it something? Did we call it like Roaring Twenties? Do we have a theme for that?
I remember the party.
Yeah, this is like 10 and a half years ago. Our memory is fading.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
But was that sort of your first big
thing? I think, yes.
Thing?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest thing I'd ever done at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, I had hosted a book club for tweens for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not even then for a long time. Maybe for a short amount of time. We had dabbled here and there, but I hadn't actually been like, I'm going to throw a party.
Right.
But, and it's about a book.
And it's about a book, and yeah. But
it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
People, you know, will come, they'll like it.
You know, you were working in librarians as a teenager. You were seeing libraries in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You went to libraries as a kid before that.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a voice in the back of your head in 2008, 2009 that said, you can't do that in a library? I have a theory you've never heard that voice.
I feel like I haven't ever heard that voice. I think you're probably right.
This podcast is about libraries
being
unconventional.
Right.
In the sort of the perception of the mainstream.
Yeah.
Like, oh, why would a library do that? Yeah. Why would a library have a podcast?
Sure. I think.
But for some reason, I don't think that's in our brains to ask that.
Yeah. I don't think I've really ever paused to think too much about it. And I think at the time we had gotten a new library director.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very much like, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a teacher. He was a professor. So I think that he probably had one up on us as far as like where libraries were going and what was changing. And I don't think he really ever said it, but he saw the potential and never said no. And so we would just kind of wander in and say, hey, I'm going to do this silly thing. And he would be like, okay, try it. And it kept working.
Mm-hmm.
That same director brought me on full time too and gave me permission to do stuff even though I wasn't pursuing a library degree, and it was validating. You know, you felt like he believed in you and, you know, was willing to let you fail, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I found the press release from 2010.
Yes.
From the big read. The kickoff party was on February 27th, and it was just called the Big Read Kickoff Party.
We didn't have a theme.
I mean, it was a 20s to 40s costume contest.
Okay.
Live music, a reading from the book by Ferndale City Council members. Right. Mother Fletcher's, a Ferndale vintage clothing store, was offering a discount code for party goers looking for costumes.
That's right. I negotiated that. Yikes. Here's early partnerships.
Here's a discount for, and I love the rest of the sentence, party goers going to the library.
Yes. Yep. Just here to have fun, you guys.
Library goers, party goers.
Yep.
Interchangeable.
Yes.
So the awesome futurely titled Roaring Twenties Party that you had. Just didn't have a title for it.
No. We got more creative with naming things, I think, after that one.
Right. But yeah, I mean, the question is always there. Could we try that in a library? And you can always just ask yourself that.
Yeah.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah, and then you just try it, and usually it works out okay.
Yeah. Just being, I think it's great for library directors. Oh, late credit here to our guest here, reference librarian, also the assistant director of this library. Credit where credit is due.
Thank you.
Darlene Hellenberg.
Thank you.
And former interim director.
Yes. Also former interim director. Yes.
Say all of my titles.
Which is a great, you know.
Breaker of chains.
Breaker of chains, all that.
Maker of book lovers.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, you're assistant director, but I think it's also great for just library directors to be, I guess, encouraging.
Yeah.
Sort of make this place a laboratory and tell your staff to just, you know, play with beakers and different programming chemicals until you get a reaction.
Yeah. And I think, too, I mean, Ferndale is just a fun place.
Mm-hmm.
So people that live here and come here are coming to have a good time.
Yeah.
So if you can make that work in your library for your programs, whatever they may be, reading programs, you know, craft programs, whatever, it will get people here. And it's sort of the spirit of our city. And it's easy, kind of easy to just take those risks because most of the time they're going to work out here. Definitely here.
Like the time Kelly, a marching band came through this library a couple of the times.
Also coincided with trying to host or be a host spot for a multi-city music festival, which we did 2 years in a row, which is kind of insane to think about.
Yeah.
Also serve alcohol as much as you can and people will come to your programs.
There's something, and maybe Dara, maybe you can attest to this. There's something to seeing a library patron walk into a scenario and see the setup of the program or whoever the guest or performer is and maybe have a little bit of shock flashed over their eyes, but then settle in to be, oh, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'm okay with this.
Okay, this will work.
It's true.
But any other last-minute thoughts about your favorite aspects of hosting a book club and whether or not there was ever a book maybe that you hated that you came to have a better appreciation for?
I do have one, actually.
What is that?
For book party, we read Once Upon a River by Billy Joe Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
It's set in Michigan. It's about a girl who takes her boat out and is running. I think she's running away from home or she decides she has to get out of there and has, you know, of course, dangers and misadventures on the way. And there was just something about that book that I didn't like. And I wanted to like it. I was just sort of salty about it. And we had such a good discussion about it at book party that I really came away with a much better appreciation for that book than I had gone into.
The magic works.
It does. It works. It's really, it's really fun. The other thing that I love about book clubs in general is that you find that you end up reading things that you wouldn't have ever read before.
Oh, that's the best part about book clubs, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So letting everybody get to pick or rotate, however you do it in your book clubs, or just taking recommendations if you're a library run book club, you just come across some books that maybe you always wanted to read or thought you would get to one day, or you just were like, you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to give a book a chance.
Have you ever recommended a book to someone and then found that they are like occasionally direct messaging or texting you about it? Because they're like, oh, I just got to this part.
Yeah, and you're
like,
I think so.
And you're like, you need to join a book club to like to focus where you need to put all this.
No, I want to hear all of your book thoughts.
You need to collect all these and go to a book club.
No, it's fine. You can tell them to me or go to a book club. But if you don't want to, I am happy to hear.
But that does speak to like the excitement that we all have when we're reading a book.
Yeah.
Throughout the experience of those 300 pages. And you get to set them on that journey when they come in and say, what should I read next?
Yeah.
Is it... Do you think there's a question you always ask first? If I came into you right now and said, what should I read next?
Yeah. I think for almost always I ask, what have you read lately that you liked?
Oh, great.
Or if I don't ask it exactly like that, I just say, what kind of books do you like to read? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or if you're not getting anywhere with that one, you could always say, what kind of books don't you like to read?
Ah.
Because that's also helpful.
I think that if I came to you with Reader's Advisory and you interviewed me, you would be so disconcerted by my tastes that you would almost try to send me in a new direction. What a dry reading cue you have. These preferences you have for early Industrial Revolution and history of the Pony Express and, you know, the technology of bridges between the 1810s to 1830s.
Yeah, I would call somebody else to help you.
Okay.
Yeah, I would immediately ask for help.
Well, your entire diet of books is like burnt toast. You need some flavor.
Yeah.
But you give people flavor.
No,
that's what's
I
important.
Try. Yes, I know? Try.
And sometimes flavors they like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a specific story about recommending a book that turned out really well or turned out really bad? Just some kind of...
Or did someone come back to you and say, ah...
Yeah.
Sorry, I was pantomiming waving a book because I forgot.
It's a podcast.
It's podcast, not visual.
I don't know if I have a specific story, but I have general, I guess I have a couple of general stories. Just that my favorite thing and the way I know that I've done a good job is that the same people will come back and ask me again and again for recommendations.
Repeat
and
customers.
Yeah, there's one lady that comes in. She doesn't come in very often, but every couple of months I'll see her. She'll always say... She is a person who just sort of trusts me no matter what, mm-hmm. and will take anything I give her,
mm-hmm.
which is very gratifying.
You're drunk with power.
I am, yes.
Clearly.
Yes. But it's just that having somebody come back and say, I'll read whatever you pick is like beyond to me, like the best part of my
also,
job.
I love that because anyone who trusts their librarian like that, special people.
Yeah. And there's somebody else too that... We just have staff picks out, mm-hmm. and she always tells me when I run into her, oh, I read your staff pick. It was great. So it's just, and then just knowing that there are those people that you have helped along the way that keep trusting you to give them, you know, your advice, and then you can find out what books they've picked out, and you'll probably like those too. I mean, it's just like, it's very nice. I can't think of any, I feel like there are a few times that it's gone badly,
mm-hmm.
but I can't exactly... I think it might have just been not really knowing what they were actually going for. And sometimes I get real nervous when teens come in and want teen books because I'm not super familiar with that area. So that gets a little bit.
There's always John Green.
That's usually my go-to. Here's some John Green. Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Paper Towns, everybody.
You know, before
Read Paper Towns.
Before we wrap up, I should ask you, if you haven't yet, I think it would be great if you... zeroed in on your, I mean, I know we're almost up to February of 2020, but you should zero in on your five favorite books of 2019.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Even better, your three favorite books of the decade.
Oh, of the decade?
And you should write them down, and we'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, good, because I can't do that on the spot, but I have to go back and look at my...
If I did ask you to just tell me a book that you read this year that you really loved, whether it came out this year or not, mm-hmm. even if it was just a book you picked up, and it was an older book, because you read books from every year.
Yes.
Is there something 2019 you just really loved? Could be anything. Don't worry about sounding cool. You can have, you know.
Jeff, I am cool.
I know it. I know.
Okay. So the book that I loved that I read with my book club this year, one of them is called A Place for Us.
Great.
It is beautiful.
What do you remember about it?
It is about a Muslim American family are living, I believe, in California.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows the story of three of the characters in the family. So you get different perspectives. And you just learned so much about their religion, their faith, and how it kind of permeates everyday life. And also all of the good, wonderful, loving things about the religion, that it just was so eye-opening and beautifully written. And we had a great discussion. It was her first book. Her name is Fatima Mirza. It's a beautiful book.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful. I loved it.
And then that final note, that is also one of the 1,000 best things about books, is sort of instilling a sense of empathy and compassion for another human experience from the characters you're reading.
Absolutely.
Whether it's fiction or whether it is nonfiction and it's the history of the Pony Express, and you can maybe have empathy for the writers and for the people who are waiting for their telegrams for a certain period of time. But
Jeff's favorite book of 2019.
My favorite book of 2019 was probably a dry history book. And on that note, it has been another fun episode of A Little Too Quiet, the Ferndale Library podcast, brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. Find out more info about that group, maybe join or donate at ferndalefriends.org. What a pleasure it's been talking to the assistant director of this library, Darlene Hellenberg. Say hello and goodbye.
Hello and goodbye.
And a reference librarian for 9 years now, and just doing interesting things and having book clubs inside of bars and scavenger hunts and sideshows, and who knows what next. Kelly Bennett has been here producing and asking some questions that I forgot to ask. And I'm Jeff Milo. We thank you so much for listening. More to come. Give us a rating on iTunes so that we can find some more listeners. And this has been A Little Too Quiet.